Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, that's Carly Taft. What a song. What a week for Carly. What a week for Carly. She, the day before, last Saturday, she sings the national anthem at Fenway. The next day, she sings the national anthem at our great one-on-one basketball game. She wins contests. She's right. Just somewhere else. And the only other person who had a better week, Wiggy, is you. I got to be honest with you. Not only do you rightfully earned the title of one-on-one king.
Yep.
Okay. But then the next day, you won MVP
of the Junior Celtics Celebrity Summer Basketball.
It was like the media game, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, Scalabrine played.
Yeah, it's for the Junior Celtics. They do a bunch of camps in the summer and that kind of thing. So it was a little.
How did you won the. That's full court.
That's MVP.
That's full court.
Yeah. Well, because I was able to take, you know.
Were you posting up? Knocking down threes?
I knocked down some threes, running the floor. You know, I scored in multiple ways.
So,
I had a triple-double, led the team in assists and rebounds. And
so you proved that you can do it when referees are actually making calls and when referees aren't making calls.
Yeah, because I got, you know, a little bit of time to sit on the bench if I needed a blow there.
My biggest takeaway, by the way, Emerson Lotzia, thank you for coming out and reffing that game.
Did a tremendous
job.
But
it was very telling after it was revealing after what he said that Joe Zarbano had told him, said, let him play. Which is, I said, that's like Lucky the Leprechaun telling Kyrie Irving, you know, telling the ref, don't call any fouls on Kyrie Irving.
There wasn't really many fouls.
Oh, my will was taken out of me right when you barreled me into the wall.
No. I pulled the rug out from underneath you. And,
no. Oh,
and you lost balance.
Wiggy, we have video.
Yeah, we have video.
That is, you encompass your body.
Wait a second. You're the one who said prison rules.
I did, and then I changed that to referees. A referee making every single call.
We played 80 styles one-on-one.
Here's the reality of this, and we're going to get to the calls in a second. The reality,
because a lot of people were, you know, they for some reason we were going to call Texas.
No, but they're calling now.
Yeah, they're
calling
up our lines.
Yeah, they're calling now. We're bringing people out from the text line,
right.
Out from
their mother's basement,
to their mother's phone bag,
to their landline,
exactly, to with a cord. So we played last Sunday. My will was when I drove to the hoop, and however you want to position it, like you took the will out of me when I like, okay, this is how we're going to play. So in fairness, that's how we're going to play. Like you said, initially, I'll take ownership of this. I said jailhouse rules.
That's it.
But then I'm like, I'm never going to be able to function that way. But it was jailhouse rules. So now I tried to start fouling you. And I would grab your arm, and it would be hanging on a tree branch.
That's it.
There's nothing I can do.
I'm not calling.
And so my whole thing was, I'll get up on you. I knew you could shoot from outside. I'll get up on you, make you work a little bit. But when I did that, you basically drove to the hoop, barreled me over, and I had no chance.
That's it.
So my will was taken out from me. You won. Congratulations. And I will also say this. Quicker hands than I thought.
Right.
Quicker hands than I thought.
Well, now
I thought I was going to get you be able with a little crossover every once in a while. Quicker hands than
I thought.
Well,
listen, I forget who was it that asked me afterwards. I think it was Nick. Nick did the interview.
Nick Fryer, yes.
Yes, he did the interview, and he asked me. I said, I am the Zeus of WEEI.
You got a headline from that.
Yeah, I did get a headline. So please, if you challenge me, be careful what you wish for. You know, I think he said Lou's next with the home run derby. So I know Lou hit for average, right? Did he?
Yes, he did it all. He did it all. But I will say this. Like, I said it to my wife when she said, that was terrible. My kid was unbelievably embarrassed.
My wife was like, I'm glad you whooped that man's ass.
What an aphrodisiac. What an aphrodisiac in the Wiggins household.
I got a surprise for you tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you that $1,000 to bet Dale with. There you go.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay. Well, but through all of it, I said to my wife and my son, I said, listen, this isn't about the game. It's about everything leading up to it and everything after.
And she goes, listen, Rob, I want a divorce. And is there any way that...
you can introduce me to Jermaine Wiggins.
He could become stepdaddy.
Okay. But it was a wild success. Thank you to everybody who participated.
It
was really good. Like, we hatched the plan. It was executing.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, well, that's what I do, man. I'm all about execution.
I mean, I was a pretty
you
big
were a part of it, too.
A pretty big part of it.
You
were a thank you. Eye slides, yeah.
Wild Wings, I have to say.
Oh, Buffalo Wild
very,
Wings,
very
yes.
Good.
I mean,
eye slides at a tremendous.
Listen, show. If nothing else, we got free sliders and wings. It was
yes.
It was pretty good. And so you had an enormous your trophy
giant
was a slide. Giant slide.
Yes, that says the champion that I got it proudly displayed right next to. One said Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
What you got? Where's your ring? Which is more valuable, the slide or the wing?
By far the slide.
Nice. There
yes.
you go. And so what is going to be, we wanted to do a race. We did the race
well,
before.
Well, what we got here now is...
I know you had a great idea,
well,
by the way.
Well, I appreciate that. That's all I do is come up with good
ideas. I know.
Ideas.
You and I, we make a good team.
Yeah, we do. With the idea machines.
Yeah, we're the idea machines. And we got the clapback corner.
Right.
We're going to take a picture of that in the next break.
Mark James says we can't speak, but we can't come up with great
it
ideas.
It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, you don't have to speak.
No, Mark James thought I spoke well enough. That he came in to begin the show and then called back at the end of the show yesterday and said how awesome I was.
Well, he had about 5 minutes before he get back to Cage Girl.
There you go. You're on with him tomorrow morning,
yes,
right?
Yes, him and I will be on tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you had a good idea because I was like, hey, listen, we had the basketball game.
Right.
We had the race out in Lansdowne Street, which really spawned all of this.
Yes.
The Wiggy versus Reamer race, which was just built for a rematch,
mm-hmm.
but we want to do it Evel Knievel style. We want to have, much like we did for the one-on-one basketball game, we want to have the three-camera shoot.
Right.
We want to have the promotions, the sponsors,
right.
the everything in the casino parking lot,
right.
everything. And we're going to do that,
right.
but you came up with another good idea.
Yes, and before we do that, I think that race is going to be between Reamer and Mutt Man to see who then
has Mutt confirmed that he will do this.
He hasn't really confirmed. He's kind of been ducking it. You know what I mean? He claims to be this, you know, this unbelievable, but he's ducking Reamer, which is
that's
very,
weird.
It's very
weird.
Surprising to me. So I came up with the idea. Hey, you know what? The race, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know what will happen, and we're still looking for the venue. And like you said, could be something in the casino, you know, ballroom or something like that. I know there's a casino right in Everett. I know some people.
Well, yeah, we're Twin River.
There's Twin River, yep. So there's a couple different options out there, right?
And I thought you got into fairly decent shape for our one-on-one basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you lost a few lbs.
Yeah, I had to. Got to lose.
Yeah,
a few lbs.
I tried adding 10 pounds of muscle. That didn't work.
But I noticed that I did gain 100 pounds after the game every like 2 or 3 minutes.
What do you mean?
So, well, by the time your interview
was
over, you had played a 600 or 700
600-pound man. As I said, I've never played against a 600-pound man without a referee. But you know, listen, it is what it is. I have retired. I went on video, and I retired from playing
smart move,
one-on-one
buddy.
Basketball games against 400-pound former tight ends. But you, I noticed that you prepare. You take these things very serious. So I think that if you have the race, I think that Reamer is going to have to prepare.
Right.
I think that Mutt will have to prepare. But your other idea, I thought, was an excellent one. And because a lot of this stuff, listen, we don't want to get into this, like, just doing things for the sake of doing things.
Right.
We want to do things that are entertaining.
Right. And that'll move the needle.
We'll move the needle, yes.
Because, you know, our basketball numbers was amazing on Facebook Live.
It was crazy. It was unbelievable. And for instance, I thought that OMF had the right idea, the beer chugging thing the other day. Next step.
But like, there's no video of it.
Take video of it.
At least I know I can see Brady. I can see Aaron Rodgers. So my idea was Olympic-style wrestling.
Yes.
Between Reamer and Curtis.
Yes.
You know, two well below heavyweights. I would say bantamweights.
Did you? So we were trying to figure out who weighed more. Like, right, Curtis probably weighs more, but not a lot.
I don't know. Curtis said he's about 150, and Reamer's...
Oh, so not that much
yeah,
more.
Yeah, 160. They're both hovering around that
150. I'm guessing that Reamer's probably stronger.
Well, I don't know, but they have to wear the singlets.
Yeah, I know. I saw that you offered up
yes.
some equipment that
yes.
might make them feel a little
That's
more secure
the,
about wearing
the
singlet. That's
called the Dick Print 3000.
Okay, of course. Well,
which, Curtis, I ordered it for him. It should be here shortly. and then what they're going to do, they're going to wear the wrestling shoes and the wrestling earmuffs.
Yeah, the headgear.
Yeah, they call the earmuffs.
okay, whatever. And somebody has, we have a coach that's volunteer, because yes. I think that should be part
of
it.
Well, I know Jerry had brought up Christian Fourier, because I guess Christian Fourier was like...
He wrestled?
Yeah, I guess him and his brother used to be like all state wrestlers or something
okay.
like that. So,
well, we need that's part of the equation. As the other part of the idea men,
right.
We need the two coaches. We need
right.
the coaching.
That can train them.
That can train them, and we get the video,
right.
We do the 24-7
yes,
thing. You
right,
know?
That's what I'm thinking about. 24, follow them around.
Exactly.
You know, how their training regimen goes, what do they do at nighttime, that kind of thing.
And I feel like this might be a close matchup.
See, I was thinking that... Curtis, because he has some pent-up frustration of when Reamer tried to expose him.
Oh, that's...
When Reamer did expose him on air about, you know, him having that, you know, his, obviously, the issue he was dealing with, the alcoholism, so he exposed him. So I'm thinking that Curtis has that emotion, like, here's my opportunity where I can get back out of him legally. Kind of what we heard, I don't know if you saw the fight between Dante Wilder and that Jamoke fought, where he said, hey, listen, what other sport can I go out there and beat a man to death and get paid for it?
Yep.
I think you have this opportunity where Curtis could say, maybe I'm not going to beat him to death, but I can make a fool.
And
of
in fairness, I don't have confirmation that Alex Reamer's legs bend.
Yeah,
because
I don't think so.
Between the race and the first pitch.
Yeah, and his shooting basketball.
You see him step into that pitch, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, his legs did not bend.
Right, he's got those special...
He's got the Forrest Gump braces.
Yeah, he's got the Forrest Gump braces.
The braces, yes.
So that's going to be a problem in wrestling.
But the whole point is, you break that stuff down, you figure it out a way, you get the coaching, you get the preparation.
Right.
So you say, hey, listen, you go into this situation... You put the sleeper hold on.
And they can customize their singlets. Reamer's said he's going to wear a bright pink one.
There you go. And they can say boom sauce on them. There you go. Let's go to the phone lines because, like we said, all people have come out of their basements, stopped texting, and finally got on their phones to confront Wiggy. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, guys? Wiggy.
Yo.
I can't take your char takes anymore. I mean... You got to be doing that just to piss Dale off, right? Because you can't be that dumb with your comments.
Do you watch the games, Matt?
I've watched the games.
Right,
yes,
okay, so Chara, is he a first-pairing defenseman?
On the Bruins right now, yes, with his pair partner, with Charlie McAvoy.
Right, but that, come on. I asked you the question, and I'll let you talk. Now what you're doing is you're like kind of like you're moving the goalposts. I've said this before, that Chara is not a first-pairing defenseman. Third pairing, he's fine, and I wouldn't even care if he's a healthy scratch.
All right, I got two things for you.
Yep.
One football comparison that maybe you might get, but here's the hockey thing. I heard you say on Dale and Keith that Chara has more minutes. He's a big plus-minus guy because he plays more minutes. He has more time on ice. Did you not say that?
I did say that. That gives him the opportunity.
So do you think Bruce Cassidy is a terrible coach?
No, I actually think he's a really good coach.
All right. So in what sport does a good coach put his worst defenseman on the ice for the most amount of time or second most amount of time every single night?
Yeah, but I think...
You're calling Bruce Cassidy a bad coach by putting one of his worst players, his worst defenseman, on the ice for more time than anybody else. If all those other guys are that much better than him, why would a good coach put him on the ice for more time than everyone else?
Well, I think good coaches make bad decisions at time. And when you look at Chara, a lot of it has to do with, in my opinion and a lot of people's opinion, is the legacy and what he's meant to this organization. Right? If Chara wasn't the captain, just say he was, let's call him Johnny Boychuk. Or Dennis Seidenberg, for example. And those guys were in this doing the same thing Chara was doing on the ice, but they didn't wear the C. They didn't have that giant legacy. You think those guys would still be on the first pair of the Bruins defense, or would they be third pair and at times healthy scratches?
No, I don't think Chara's a healthy scratch. And I agree with you, they wouldn't be. And that's why I think Chara is obviously still playing up to par to be a first line D guy, because that's why he's on the ice. So here's my comparison for you in football. Thing with Chara, right, his weaknesses, right, he's always been slow.
Right.
Ever since he put on skates, he's been slow. He's not been the best stick handler. He's not been the best guy. But his strengths are so much outweigh his weaknesses that make him a Norris Trophy, former Norris Trophy winner and finalist all the time. And they still do. And they outweigh the weaknesses of the other guys, like Torrey Krug and Matt Grizzlick, who can't get a guy out in front of the net, and right. he takes care of stuff like that that they can't do. So you look at Brady versus Rodgers, which is always a great debate. Tom Brady is not a guy that can scramble and get you 15 yards and extend a play or get that first down like that. He has weaknesses. A lot of people say he can't throw the long ball. He's not flashy like a Rodgers. He can do those things. But his strengths so far outweigh his weaknesses. It makes him one of the greatest quarterbacks.
But the thing about
play the game.
But the thing about Brady is still playing at an extremely high level. He's still probably one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. The thing about Chara is his strengths used to be his ability to play physical, his intimidation factor, the fact that no one wanted to go in the corner and challenge him anymore. But he doesn't
have.
Yeah, but no. If you look at it, those strengths are not there no more. Now guys are taking runs on him when he has the puck. They're not afraid to not fight him. I don't want to say. I think guys are still afraid to fight him, but they're not afraid to take runs, to challenge him in the corner, knock him off the puck. So I don't think his strengths are the same that he used to have that you're thinking about. That was Chara of, 4 or 5 years ago. He's not that same guy no more.
I think he's that same guy. Sure, he's gone down a step or two, but he's still better than 85-90% of the NHL defensemen on the ice today. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't agree with that, all but right. We'll find out Monday. We'll find out tomorrow.
That's how we sum things up. We'll find out tomorrow. And you know what? We have some news from Bruins practice, and that's going to be in the Trending Now coming up right now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now more of Weimer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Bruce Cassidy has said that the St. Louis Blues are basically the Bruins' twin. Pete DeBoer, the coach of the San Jose Sharks, says these are the two heaviest teams in the National Hockey League in the Stanley Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins come into this final with 19 different goal scorers in the playoffs this year. The Blues have 18 different goal scorers this year. If I think there's a coaching advantage for the Bruins, and that comes later in the list,
yeah.
I think the fact that, in effect, Bruce Cassidy is preparing to play himself gives them an advantage.
It's a mirror match. I like that. It's a mirror match. I like that.
Cassidy playing with himself.
There you go. I mean, it's really basically Cassidy can only lose this by not being Cassidy. Is that a take or what?
or maybe he wins it by not being Cassidy.
I think here's my take on it. Cassidy, and if you're going to power rank the things that have to do with this series, like Cassidy doesn't even factor in.
No.
Like we talked about this before. Like Julian was top five storylines in that series.
Yeah, Cassidy's not in there. I think when you look at your, because it was those were the usually it's the Keefe's keys, but that was I guess it's the Dale's keys.
Yeah, well, Dale's gonna have a lot of keys. Did my guy Evan contact you for your takes on, because we're writing an article for tomorrow?
Yes.
The hockey know-it-alls give their...
And I gave my...
did you?
Yeah, I gave my tips.
You're welcome for being part of the hockey know-it-alls.
Okay.
Our world.
And I gave him with a little bit of Wiggy... I gave him with a little bit of that...
a panache.
Well, yeah. I get... You know what the thing is called? It's called that Dale sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Dale
you
sauce.
You took some digs?
No, that's what the thing is that, you know, now it's called Dale sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Mutt came up with that
one. Put a little yum-yum sauce on it.
No, not yum-yum sauce. There's yum-yum sauce, there's boom sauce, and now there's Dale sauce.
Tell me exactly what Dale sauce is. I'm a little confused.
Dale sauce is just the way he spews his hockey takes.
He's a know-it-all. Like, that's what you're saying. I'm not saying he's a know-it-all.
Yeah,
you're saying he's a know-it-all.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've gone head-to-head with Dale, many a times.
But he doesn't like the pushback that you're giving him.
Well, I'm calling like I see it. You know what I'm saying, Bradfoe? Yeah, I mean, I call it like I see it. When I see Chara out there and I'm seeing him, you know, and everybody's like, oh, they don't, oh, it's Chara, you know, listen, he's your top pairing defenseman. When we're breaking down the playoffs, right, let's talk about keys. Tuukka is going to be a big part of this. Chara is going to be a big part of this. And then you talk about the scoring that you're going to get for maybe your top two lines.
It's a weird thing. We just got audio of Dale over at Bruins practice just now.
you suck. Screw you.
That was weird how he's turned on the Bruins all of a sudden. That
his
was
voice
bizarre.
Has changed a little bit,
that
too.
That was bizarre. Very emotional about this. You know, one thing that we haven't talked about, and the Marchand thing, in case you missed Trending Now, which I don't know how you would miss Trending Now, but in case you missed Trending Now, the Bruins tweeted out that Marchand was not on the ice for practice. So that's a little concerning, I guess, but I got to imagine he'll play.
Maybe it's rest.
He's just,
you know,
he's just resting. He's not going to be on the ninth floor.
That's what, you know, that's what it is. When you don't play or you don't practice no more, it's just rest.
I also, speaking of Trending Now, I also was remiss in not adding this in all seriousness. Bart Starr, former quarterback, legendary quarterback. Back has passed away the age of 85. So,
Green Bay Packers, right?
Green Bay Packers.
MVP of Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II.
Yep. I mean, that's a pretty good run right there. And
how old was he?
85.
That's a long time. Yeah, good life to live
with. Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of legends, speaking of leaders, one of the things I think both you and I wanted to talk about, you came in here wanting to talk about because you heard my award-winning three-hour show.
I did.
Yesterday. I'm not going to talk about the thing that you think I'm going to talk about. I want to talk about the leadership.
Oh, you thought I was thinking D'Ancilio?
Yeah, you talked D'Ancilio. So you can talk about that because I made my...
I mean, I don't know him. I don't know him from, you know,
exactly. That's what I said as well. But I did do 3 hours yesterday. And the majority of it wasn't talking about D'Ancilio. Mm-hmm. It was talking about one of the things that I took away from last week of no hockey, no nothing, was Chara's thing talking about rookies. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to say rookies.
Right.
And a lot of people, including myself, said that's what a leader looks like. You say no. And this isn't just... I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Wiggy. This isn't just you on your Chara hatred.
No.
This is you saying that...
Well, everybody's whole big thing now is to try to make the comparison to Kyrie Irving. You know, that's the biggest thing. Oh, look at the way Chara leads and not how Kyrie does. You know, Kyrie's not a leader. Think about this. Chara's been at this organization for, Jesus, how many years now has he been with the Bruins? What, 13? 13 years with the Bees, and he, you know... Kyrie's 26 years old. My biggest thing from this is, as somebody who played professionally before, I understand what Charles is trying to say, but I don't agree with it because I feel like this. Young guys need to earn their stripes. I was a young guy that had to earn my stripes as a rookie who came into the league. And I think when you earn your stripes, you view it differently when you become a veteran, right? So you understand the challenges and you understand what it takes to get to a certain level. And Chara doesn't think that. He doesn't want guys to be viewed that way. He's never been a fan of that. And, you know, that, to me, I feel like when guys don't earn their stripes or they don't really get to cut their teeth as rookies and what it means and all the things that you got to do with, I think that as they get older, they kind of miss out on really – what it takes to get to that next level.
All right, before I tell you why you're wrong, let's hear the sound from Char from the locker room earlier this week.
I said it many times, since a very young age, I didn't like the separation between, inside a team, between young players and older players, players who accomplished something, players who just, you know, coming into the league. And I don't like to use the word rookie. They are teammates, and I just don't like to separate. You know, like I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think that, you know, once you're a team, you're a team, and regardless of the age or accomplishments, you know, we have to treat each other with respect and same way.
Okay, there's a couple things to pick through here. You had mentioned the Kyrie thing. I'll start with the rookie thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, like when you came up, was 1999, you were a rookie?
Yes.
Okay, 1999, you're a rookie. It was completely different. I talked to Rick Porcello about this. He came up as a rookie in 2009.
Right.
And he said it was the same deal. It had changed dramatically even since 2009. So I imagine in 1999, you're talking about shaving your body, head.
I'm not even talking about like the rookie hazing. I'm just talking about more so as a rookie, it's about coming in and being a sponge, right? Keeping your mouth shut.
But that's two different things, though, Wiggy. The rookie should be that way. Michael Chavis should be that way.
Right.
But to treat him differently than a guy that you need that guy to perform.
Well, I don't say it's not like when I say treat him differently, it's not like you're treating him that you're just, you know, throwing change at him when he walks by the locker room. No, it's about treating him in the sense of like, hey, rookie, you know what I mean? You got to earn your stripes, right? We need you to be what we need you to be, but you got to earn those stripes.
Sure, but
you got to put that work in because a lot of times, if you don't, then there's guys who get if they didn't get that when they were younger, now they get to a point and they feel like they're untouchable, or they come in as rookies and they feel like, who are you to tell me what I need to do?
So a guy comes in, Harry comes in, and by the way,
and
Brady's doing the exact opposite of what you're talking about because he's inviting him to his house for avocado burgers and a game of catch, even though he's a rookie.
Right.
He's not saying, hey, you're a rookie, you can't come over the
Brady's
house.
No, Brady's saying, get to the house, I need your ass here right now, you're a rookie, get over here, we're going to do some things, and
you know as well as I do, a lot of what, when you were coming up and a lot of what has happened, where it's, hey, you know what? You can't invite the rookie over. You can't treat the rookie.
But it's not about inviting him over. See, that's where I think you're missing the point that what Chara's trying to make. Chara's just saying he doesn't think there should be a distinction, or there should be, you know, the younger players. It doesn't matter if you have 1,000 games versus whether or not you have 5 games. Where I'm saying, well, when you come up as a young player and you come into an organization and you learn, okay, I have to earn my stripes, right? I have to earn, I have to prove to the veterans. Right, and as a veteran, you got to say to this young guy, like, listen, okay, we're not going to just make things easy for you. We want to see that you're
right. But it doesn't mean that they should treat him differently. I think that's what Chara is saying. I don't think that they have to say, hey, you can't be on the same bus as us. You have to carry the backpacks out.
Well, that's what you do as a rookie.
But why?
Because as a rookie, that's part of earning your stripes.
But that's the whole point, and that's what Chara's talking about.
Get my helmet. We see it in football all the time.
Did that make you feel better or worse as a player?
What it makes me feel like is as a young player that I'm doing what I got to do to earn my stripes to get into the graces of the veterans, and I'm a guy that's willing to do whatever.
You know what you do to earn your stripes? You perform.
Right, but that's part of being a young player versus being a veteran. There are things that you said, grab my pads. You can't. I remember when I first got into the NFL, my first meeting, I'll never forget it. My first meeting was with the Jets and team meeting. So I walk into the room and I'm going to sit in a seat. And every seat that I went to sit into, they would be like, nah, you can't sit there. That's Jumbo seat. Jumbo Elliott, who I played with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Then I go to another seat. Uh-uh, that's Jumbo seat. You can't sit there, young pup. That's Jumbo seat. And then I go to another seat. Nope, that's Jumbo seat. You can't sit there until you get your ass all the way to the front, right in front of the very first row. And that's kind of like, but that's what you.
What good does that do you, though?
But it's you feel like as a young player, you feel like, okay, I gotta earn my.
But
stripes.
You know what? As a young player, before I go on, let me just read you. So I talked to Rick Porcello about this exact same thing. You tell me what I'm going to read it to you.
These guys are too soft nowadays, man.
Well, but
soft is warm.
Well,
ice cream.
But this is how it is. That's why
a lot of players nowadays.
Well, Michael Chavis comes up. He's one of their best players, right? If they're treating him like one of their best players.
But to a certain point, they don't properly know how to lead because they didn't have to go through this. Why is Chara such a great leader? It's probably because he had to go through some of these things.
I think they're leading because they're taking this different approach of what you're talking about.
No, they're leading because they know nowadays these guys are soft and they're going to be like, oh, who are you talking to like that? Didn't you see what I did in college or whatever?
All right, I'm gonna get back to this. I'll read the Porcello thing after the break. But before we go to the break, I'm going to take Dominic. Dominic, what's going on? Hey, Dominic.
Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
You know, I think this kind of dovetails into Jermaine Wiggins' pretty pathetic take on Kyrie Irving, brother. I tell you, I'm a New York Knicks fan, and I want nothing to do with this guy. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyrie Irving, his whole spiel with these players is he has the authority because he performed in the playoffs, hit one shot in his career, played with the best player of all time, maybe top three.
Right.
And he completely choked. You're talking about a 37.
Yeah, he did choke. He did, but we're not disputing that. I'm not disputing that he had a horrible playoffs.
So my question to you, though, is he set himself as the authority figure on the Celtics because of his playoff performance. How, therefore, does he go next year and be the leader of a team?
Well, he has to learn how to be a leader of the team, right?
He's a
top 10 player, right? Look at the NBA. You need top 10, top 15. You need two of those guys on a team, right? Kyrie Irving is learning to be a leader. And the biggest thing that you look at is he's 26 years old. So is he a leader yet? No, Paul Pierce wasn't a leader at 26 years old.
Yeah, you stole that from me.
What, the Paul Pierce?
Yes.
Well, but it's
true.
What's the point?
He has set himself as the leader on the team over everybody else because he has the playoff pedigree.
Right.
He choked.
He did choke.
What happens, therefore, to his leadership when he had guys who, more recently, Jason Tatum has a better playoff performance than Kyrie Irving.
But don't you think Jason Tatum Don't you think Jason Tatum choked this year in the postseason? The best player in the postseason, by far, in my opinion, most consistent player, was probably Jaylen Brown.
And it's
true.
Dominic,
you're not gonna win when you're two let's call them top dogs in Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and all these guys don't play well. You're not gonna win.
And Dominic, one of the dangerous things, I think this is a road you're going down. Just because a guy is the best player doesn't mean they're the leader. And that's what happened with Pierce. Right,
yeah.
that's what happened with him, and I think that's to a certain extent what happened with Kyrie.
Right, and Kyrie doesn't have the Kevin Garnett or the Ray Allen to lean on.
No, he reminded me a lot of Paul Pierce when he was named captain. He wasn't ready to be named captain.
Right, but he needed and Dominic, he needs that other guy to come in that might be able to take some of that pressure off him. And then the other thing, you got to have these young guys, buy into the system.
Here's the problem with the Anthony Davis rule. Anthony Davis comes to Boston, and what does he do? He says, this is Kyrie's team. I'm just here to support my brother. That's the fatal flaw with all this.
Yeah, but it's only two players at that time.
I'm sorry?
It's only two players. It's only Kyrie and Anthony Davis. You don't have to manage egos of Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown. You only have to – you say, hey, listen, you two are the alpha dogs. This is your team, and go out there and do what you do.
One of the most reputable basketball analysts out there, Jeff Goodman. Jeff Goodman saying that Kyrie has behaved this way since Duke.
Right.
Since he knew him back in high school.
Right.
Brother, you drinking the Kool-Aid, man.
No, but that's okay, I understand. But that's who Kyrie is, though. That's who, but you need every player, Dominic, every player in the NBA has some issue.
That's not true.
Look
at Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, I knew you was going to say Kawhi Leonard, right? Yeah, I knew you was going to, hold on. I knew you was going to say Kawhi Leonard. This guy's a leader, this, that, and the other. Look what he did to San Antonio last year. He gave up on his team. Here's the dynamic. Let me give you this point right now, and then you could call back in, let's say, 7 months, and we can have this discussion
again. Forward to that call.
Right? Kawhi Leonard, after taking the Toronto Raptors to the NBA Finals, whether they win or lose, you're going to find out. After the season's over, I guarantee you he bounces on Toronto.
So what?
But he's supposed to be a leader. Why would he do that?
Jermaine, he has not talked a peep about where he's going in free agency. He hasn't played these games with the Toronto fan base. I might come back.
Yeah, he hasn't done that. I'll give him credit on that one. But what's the difference if he does that versus if he doesn't do it? So
he ain't bombastic. He shuts his mouth. He's disciplined. He's focused, and he's a great teammate and a guy to build around.
Well, he's a great. How can you build around a guy who's going to take your team to the NBA Finals and then leave?
Dominic, thanks for the call. Call back in 7 months.
Yes.
We're marking it down.
Not seven months. In July. We'll call back again
July 2nd. July 2nd. Yeah. Make sure that Dominic gets right
Make
through
sure
top
Dominic
of the, top,
get
of the line.
Top of the list because when Kyrie, not Kyrie, excuse me, Kyrie, when Kyrie takes his talents to the West Coast after taking this Toronto Raptors team to an NBA Finals.
To the Lakers.
I want to see all the fans in Toronto go, hey, man, he was such a great leader. He did everything for
Yeah, there's a lot to pick through
there's
with this.
Kawhi Leonard.
There's a lot to pick through with this leadership stuff, including the Kyrie Irving stuff. You guys hit on it. But also, I want to read this. I have two things to read to you. This is going to be reading time.
Okay.
Number one, my interview with Rick Porcello talking about that dynamic in the Red Sox and the baseball clubhouse. And also, Brad Stevens, he's never named a captain except for up since Rondo. Like, he hasn't had a captain since Rondo. And he has an explanation why. And I don't think it's a good explanation with his team. And I think that this is one of the things, if you read into this is one of the problems that the Celtics had. We'll get to that right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
We were just talking about, before you came on, about leadership. And I know it's a broad subject, but I talked to Porcello about this the other day because Zdeno Chara of the Bruins. I just want to get your perspective of that, of leadership in a baseball clubhouse and how that dynamic works.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Me and Porcello and DP, we all got drafted the same year. So when I grew up in the minor leagues, obviously, Rick and DP were in the big leagues at the time, 2009, 2010. It was completely different. I mean, I talked to a lot of guys that were older than me when I was growing up in high A, double A, and they're telling me that was one of the worst times of their life, being up in the big leagues for the first few weeks and getting treated bad. And I walked in the clubhouse last year, nervous as can be. It was unbelievable. A lot of our guys that have been in the big leagues for a long time, I mean, we just got Steve Pierce, got his 10-year in the big leagues the other day when we were in Toronto.
Did he get a cake? Because the other guy's got a cake.
We confirmed that he did get a kick. Steve Pierce got a kick for being 10 years in. That was Marcus Walden.
So they don't like the little bit of what? What was it that was so bad? The hazing?
It made him feel comfortable. It made him feel like he could perform like a major leaguer.
Carrying bags? It's not like he's yelling. They're not like they're yelling at him when he comes off the mound. Like, come on, Rocky, what are you doing?
Whatever makes you feel better. Makes you feel like you can perform. So anyway, that's Jermaine Wiggins. I'm Rob Bradford. Alex Reamer on assignment for the show. Thanks, Alex.
I used to have to get Keyshawn his Popeye's chicken before.
Did
the
he really?
Left. Yeah, man. You know,
really?
Yeah, it's part of the deal, man. You know.
See, but that didn't make you feel good.
It actually made me feel like, you know what?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
I was cutting my teeth and I was earning my stripes.
Wouldn't it make you feel better if Keyshawn Johnson said, you know what? Come on over here. We're going to talk about how to run routes.
Yeah, but he
how
did
to catch
that.
The ball.
He did that.
All right, so why did he need he, to, for he him that. To get the
you know
chicken?
What? It was like I was putting my work in. That's what I was doing. I was putting my work in and climbing my way up the ladder.
Okay. Anyway, we got to get to some housekeeping because we're gonna get to this, all of this, all
some
of
housekeeping.
This. Yeah, housekeeping, because we broke the news that Brad Marchand was not at practice.
Okay,
was not on the ice for practice. By breaking the news, we read the Boston Bruins Twitter account, and it's a maintenance day, correct, John Anderson?
Yes, that I saw that via DJ Bean on Twitter, which was from Cassidy's mouth.
Need those maintenance days?
I guess so.
Did the maintenance man come in?
I need a maintenance day. I can tell you that. And what was the other thing? Oh, the Red Sox. The Red Sox have sent down Colton Brewer and called up Darwin's and Hernandez.
Uh-oh.
From Double A. Darwinson, top prospect, Wiggy.
Well, are they going to treat him right? Make sure they treat him
That's
right.
That's a great question.
Don't let him carry your bag.
So this is why I'm guessing that they will treat him right, because this is what Rick Porcello told me early in the week when we were talking about this Chara video.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Okay, you tell me, after listening to this, where he is wrong. He said, you have so many talented guys coming up, and they're making such an impact early on in their career. So as a team, we want them to be as comfortable as possible. You want them to be part of this. We want them to experience it all. They're helping us a lot. For example, Michael Chavis has come up and provided a big spark for us and really helped us turn a corner. You don't want to take anything away from what his ability is, making him uncomfortable and not making him feel confident when he's playing the game or around the clubhouse. You want... you kind of realize that now. If you're here, the first and foremost is about winning, then you want those guys to contribute as much as possible. What do you disagree about with that?
So what are they doing to make him feel, what would be done that would make people feel uncomfortable? If somebody said, hey, Rook, grab my bags, that makes somebody feel uncomfortable and they can't go out there and play?
All right, I'll lead you to another quote that he had. Just in comparison with what I'm familiar with, when I got to the big leagues in 2009, it was a great group of guys, but I was also by far the youngest guy in the big leagues, the youngest guy on the team. There were a couple of instances I definitely felt like a rookie. At times, you don't feel the same vibe coming to the ballpark as everyone else. You feel maybe not quite as part of what is going on.
What were those incidents? That's what you should have asked.
Well,
like, what did they do to make you feel uncomfortable?
They probably did a lot of things that, like you're talking about. Say, hey, go get my food.
So go get my food makes you feel like you're not part of the team.
Don't you want to feel like you're part of the team?
And are you really that sensitive where somebody says, "Hey Rook, carry my bag." Oh, "Hey Rook, go get my bag."
Why are guys like this, clearly a leader in that, saying that this is the way to approach it when you're saying, "Well, hey, you should go get these guys fried chicken."
I think they're saying it now because they know that the players nowadays are a lot.
Well, okay, that's adjusting to the players.
You got
to
stroke their egos.
But
stroking their egos leads to a lot more issues because now these younger players feel like they've arrived. Like we've seen this incidents with the Celtics. Younger players like Terry Rozier, Tatum, Brown, some of these guys feel like they've arrived before they've really, earned their stripes, and that becomes an issue.
And so I agree with you because in that respect, if you do, but that's because you don't have the leaders here.
It's like, "Hey, coach, give me the ball. I'm just as valuable as Kyrie Irving."
Well, there is a line to be drawn because it's a two-way street. You have to have, not only do you have to have the right approach from the leadership, and we disagree on that approach, but you have to have the right approach from the rookies. If Michael Chavis came up and was acting, say, "Hey, I'm the best, don't you think they would say, "Hey, ease off a little bit"?
No, they would say, "Hey, listen, we got to treat him like everybody else because we're not going to say, "Hey, ease off, Rook, you got to earn your stripes." They don't do that because now he'll feel uncomfortable. They'll probably say, "Hey, you are a great player."
Okay, in respect to the Celtics, and you talk about Kyrie Irving and him being perceived as a leader just because he's the best player. As I said,
I didn't say that.
No, I know, but but that's basically what they were saying.
That's what people say.
That's what they were saying. And that was when you have Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown being interviewed by Jackie McMullen, that's what they were insinuating. Like, "Oh, we had to adjust how to Kyrie led."
Right, because
which is why.
Well, that's because in their minds, they feel like, why should we adjust to him just because he's a better player when we're just as good or we're on the same level because of the mentality of there's no more, "Hey, Rook, you got to earn your stripes."
Okay, and I do want to get into it, like how it was in the football locker rooms. But before we do that, I want to get to Matteo Arcidi, who was an intern for us. He did this article on Brad Stevens not having a captain since Rajon Rondo. This is what he said, and which I thought was a good talk.
I didn't even know Rondo was a captain.
It was weird.
Wow.
So he said, "I spent a lot of time studying this at Butler." Number one, that surprises me that he studied this. "I'd say out of the 12 years that I've been a head coach, we've rarely had captains. And the reason being is that you want to empower everyone to add leadership in their own authentic way. We want players like Horford and Baines, who are the most experienced, to be vocal and active within their personality. We want the best player, Kyrie, to be vocal and do it with his personality. We want other players that aren't as accomplished and maybe aren't playing as much, like Robert Williams, to feel it's okay to have ownership and say within his personality what he thinks too." That is, you know what? I understand. If he studied it, I give him a lot of credit for. But with this team, Wiggy, that was the wrong approach. Giving everybody their say. Because like you said, the message coming from some of those guys weren't the right message.
But isn't that what you said Chara says that he says? Hey, everybody should have a voice.
No, regardless if you logged a thousand games. You treat them different. I don't think Chara was saying everybody should have, everyone is going to be perceived as the same level of leadership because Chara is the leader. Everyone knows that Chara is the leader. Everyone knew that Ortiz was the leader. Everyone knows that Tom Brady is the leader.
Yeah, but what type of, like you said, there are different ways to lead. And I think this is where the problem is when you don't start not separating the team, but saying, "Hey, listen, here's how it works. There's veterans, there's guys that are almost veterans, there's guys that are just getting out of being young guys, and then there's rookies." So I think when you don't have those different levels, I think a lot of things.
I think it's at different levels, though.
Because think about this in baseball, right? Pedroia. They look at Pedroia as a leader only because he's been around longer, right? But he might lead in a different way, where he's not the vocal big poppy, throwing bats in the dugout.
No, I've said this a million times, and I think baseball leadership is a lot like football leadership, is that it comes from a lot of corners of that locker room or clubhouse, right?
I think every sport's like that, right?
Unless there are instances where you have the alphas. You have, like, Charles and alpha because of age and because of performance.
Right.
Brady isn't going to be the guy who stands in the middle of the Rudy stool, but probably things have to pass through Brady, right?
Yeah, but he also would be the guy that would be like, "Hey, listen here, young pup, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. Or in the sense of where he would be like, hey, young pup, grab my pads and my helmet.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's part of, you know, like I said, it's part of, you know, just earning your stripes and saying, all right, you know what, hey, I got to do this. And then he'll say, you know what, don't worry. One day you're going to be the guy who tells the other young dude, hey, grab my helmet, shoulder pads, whatever it may be. It's just part of the dynamic of what football is and how you, you know, if you're fortunate enough to play long enough and be part of that brotherhood, it's the way it is. It's no different than joining a fraternity, right? When a fraternity, when you come in as somebody who's, what do they call, like online or something like that?
Were you in a fraternity?
No, I wanted to be in a fraternity.
You were turned down?
No. I just never really, I that's the one thing I regret about college is I should have joined the fraternity. And I wanted to join the Q Dogs. And I think back, like, man, I should have been
at Georgia or Marshall?
At Marshall, and then I would have did it at Georgia.
Okay.
And I
Well, hold on. Save that, because that's the ultimate tease. We got to go to a break. 617-779-7937. Not only will we hear the story of why Jermaine Wiggins bizarrely didn't join or was afraid to join a fraternity.
I wasn't afraid.
Was afraid to join a fraternity, but also there's a couple of things I want you to simulate. Number one, we had Kerosene Ken Laird basically try out for the banner captain.
I feel like I'm an honorary Kudo.
Whatever, you can feel that way, but I want you to simply give your best shot at being the banner captain, because you're in the mix, much like Kerosene Ken Laird.
Yes.
And also, early in the show, in case people missed it, you have confirmed that you were the guy in 2011 that was shouting fire Claude.
Yes.
When they were getting off
very
the duck
loud
boats.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we'll get back to that as well. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.